I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Michael Bosler, economist, public policy analyst, writer, and a guy who just takes really complicated stuff and makes it easy for all of us to understand. Michael Bosler, great to have you here again.
Thanks for having me, Dawn. As you know, it's always my pleasure to be here, and thanks for those kind words.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Over the years, you know, Michael, people will say, that's the best explanation of, you know, fill in the blank. So I know that you're a well-appreciated and highly respected professor in our region of the economy and an economist. So take me through, if you would, what you think of all of this happening with regard to tariffs. And we'll talk about DOGE in a second, but with the tariffs taking effect.
Okay, so let's take a look at the big picture. First of all, I'd like to say I'm a free market economist, and I don't like to see tariffs placed on anything by any country. However, there are a number of imbalances that have occurred and are occurring that Trump wants to fix. So what are they? With regard to the tariffs, first of all, with regard to the tariffs with Mexico and Canada, there were two issues there he wanted to resolve immediately. One, the borders were wide open, and it didn't seem the Canadian government and, to a much greater extent, the Mexican government were really doing anything to stop that. So he threatened the tariffs about a month ago. Literally the next day, Mexico committed 10,000 troops to guard the border. Trudeau committed 10,000 troops, and he said, we put in a new surveillance system that they would spend $1.3 billion on. And almost overnight, the border was secure. And if you look at the number of crossings in the last week or two, they're down about 90% over the level of last year. So that worked. Secondly, not just were people coming across, but there's illegal drugs, fentanyl, produced in China, sent to Mexico and Canada, and that's coming across our border. Both countries said they would pledge to do something about this. However, for the first 2 months of this year, the total fentanyl that's been caught is actually higher than it was last year. So President Trump said, look, this fentanyl is killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. We need to stop it. And I don't think Mexico and Canada, Trump would say, I don't think that they've done enough to stop this. So I'm going to put these tariffs on. And with business people, when you're trying to negotiate something and the other party is a little slow to react, you create a sense of urgency. So by putting on these tariffs, it will create a sense of urgency, and both governments probably in a short time period will do something more to stop the fentanyl. Now, the other reason for the tariffs, and Trump almost fixed this the last time he was president, when we had NAFTA, which was a very unfair trade agreement from the U.S. perspective. He fixed it with the USMCA, but he didn't really go far enough. And what happens with Canada and Mexico, and this is true with the European Union, are probably next for tariffs, we charge a 2.5% tariff on goods that are produced in those countries and brought into the U.S. When we sell our goods in Canada and Mexico, they place a higher tariff on. And in some industries, like the banking industry in Canada, American banks can't even operate in Canada. Now, they do it through subsidiaries and a bunch of ways to get around it. But essentially, they can't operate in Canada. Meanwhile, TD Bank and some other ones are down in the U.S. doing very well. All Trump wants to do with the tariffs is to level the playing field. And then the last thing is much of our manufacturing in the last really 20 or 30 years, especially, has left the U.S. and has gone to other countries. The automobile industry produces a lot down in Mexico for a couple of reasons. One, the labor wage rate is significantly lower. And secondly, their pollution laws are very lax. So if you build an automobile plant here, you're going to have to make sure anything spewing into the air is clean, and that's costly. So the companies that were producing in Mexico, he now wants them, the cars, to produce in the U.S. And I think just yesterday, Honda announced, we're not making building a plant, the next plant in Mexico. We're building it in Indiana. So the bottom line is with these tariffs is he wants to secure the border, not just people-wise, but drug-wise. And he also wants to level the playing field so that whatever tariffs we charge, they charge the same. European Union is next. We charge, again, a 2.5% tariff for stuff they sell here. They charge a tariff, and then they have this value-added tax, which is even more of a cost, and it's very difficult to sell American goods in Europe. Somebody made a comment the other day, how many Chevrolets do you see driving around in Paris or in Berlin? And the reason is their tariffs are much higher. President Trump says, I'm not going to do this gradually. I'm not going to convene a bipartisan committee, and we'll meet for a couple of months and then meet with somebody else for a couple of months and then try to pass. He doesn't want to do that. He says, this is a serious problem, and we're going to stop it, solve it right now. The tariffs are the first step. Let me also say that in the short term, it will probably lead to some pain in that tariffs add to the cost of the product, and that tends to push prices up. And some economic forecasting agencies have come out with how much of an increase in prices you're likely to see. Now, what Trump will say to that is, if you look at the consumer price index, 7% of it directly and almost 30% indirectly is affected by energy prices. So Trump has changed laws to allow American companies to start producing more energy, and he predicts, it's a very aggressive prediction, but he predicts by the end of the year that energy prices will be cut in half. That will offset any impacts from tariffs on high prices.
Which, looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Would be incredible because, of course, energy fuels everything, pun intended,
exactly.
Right? But so
exactly.
That would be wonderful. What's your reaction as far as the short term? We're continuing the conversation with Professor of Finance of Stockton University, Michael Bussler, who's our expert, our guy. I mean, you make it so simple. You make it sound so simple, and I love how you break it down. But honestly, Michael, if you watch, you would never know any of this if people are just relying on either local media or national media, because all day they've been in panic mode. Oh, look at the stock market. Look at the futures. Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Oh, your car's just go. Oh, hope you don't have to buy something. I mean, literally, I'm being silly, but truthfully, they are pushing the panic button.
Yeah, and all they need to do is really take a deep breath and relax, and you'll see things are not as bad as some of these pundits are pointing out. Remember when Trump was in his first term, he put tariffs on Chinese goods and a few other countries. He started to try to bring manufacturing back. He took action to increase the energy supply. When he left office, the inflation rate was 1.4%. In 2020, we had COVID, which messed up economic activity. But from 2017 to 2019, we had low taxes, low interest rate, low inflation, not as much growth as we'd like. But in 2020, the economy was really set to take off. The first couple of months looked like we were going to hit a 4% growth rate in 2020, and then COVID hit, and that didn't happen. So I would just say to people that are so worried about all these negatives, just take a deep breath and relax. Things are not as bad as you're making it out to be. And look, Trump, as Trudeau said, Trump is a very smart man. He knows what he's doing. Give his policies a little bit of time to work. Remember what his goals are, to have a strong economy, to have low inflation, low unemployment, strong growth, low energy prices. By the end of this year, into next year, we're likely to have all that, even if it means a little bit of pain for the first half of this year.
And what's your reaction, though, too, because we do have, I mean, that's what Trudeau was speaking out about Canada, but they're saying that they'll react with their own version of upping the tariffs and upping the ante, if you will.
That's the worst thing they can do to themselves. And why is that? This 25% tariff will hurt exports coming out of Canada. Now, how big of a problem is that? Their GDP roughly is around $2 trillion. Just under 20% of it, 300 and some billion, are exports coming to the U.S. With the 25% tariff, it's hard to say how much of that exports will be affected. I saw one economist forecast about a 10% drop in their exports. If that's all it is, but even if it's just that, that will be a 2% drop in their GDP, which could put them into a recession. Making matters worse, if they put tariffs on the goods America makes and sells in Canada, which are mostly consumer products, the consumers are going to say, well, I know it used to be $3, now it's $3.50, I'm going to have to pay a little more. I think Canadian consumers will continue to buy those consumer products, but at a higher price. So now Canada ends up with a declining economy because they're selling less to the U.S., rising prices because they put tariffs on U.S. goods. That's the worst economic condition you can have, a decreasing economy and higher prices. So he could go ahead and put these tariffs on. I think it's going to hurt Canada more than it's going to help it.
I wanted to ask you, Professor Michael Busler, your take on Elon Musk was just on Joe Rogan's podcast and called Social Security the greatest Ponzi scheme, basically saying we're all getting played.
You know, I've referred to this as a Ponzi scheme before. So what is a Ponzi scheme? So a Ponzi scheme is you invest money into a business like Bernie Madoff did. You invest money. They're supposed to take your money, invest it for you, and then you get returns for it, you know, and your investment grows. A Ponzi scheme is when you take investors' money, don't invest it, but give it to other investors for their returns, and then you can just spend whatever money that they have. And then when the people that invested the money on the second round, when they are looking for returns, they sell more shares of the company and they don't invest it. They give it to the other people who invested money. That's similar to what Social Security does. When you input money and it's 6.2% of your wages and your employer pays 6.2% for you, so it's 12.4% of your wages, they don't put that money away for you. What they do is they take that money and they pay Social Security recipients, people who are retired and get it benefits. And then when people who are paying now, when you retire, they're going to take somebody else's Social Security and they'll use that to pay you. So in theory, it's similar to a Ponzi scheme. Now, actually, it could work if the percentage of the population working and the percent collecting remain relatively constant. In other words, in 1935, when they implemented Social Security, there were seven people working for every one collecting benefits. And the system worked. In fact, it had a surplus in it. Because of demographic factors, baby boomers retiring and low birth rates, now there are only less than three people working for every one collecting benefits, and the surplus we had in the system is being drained. So we have a very serious problem with Social Security, whether it's a Ponzi scheme or not, as a matter of interpretation. We have a very serious problem with it, and it's a problem that there are no good solutions. In other words, well, you could say, look, we're running out of money. We'll just raise taxes. Well, people are already paying 12.4% of their wages. How much more can you pay?
Yeah.
So you can't raise taxes. Secondly, well, we'll just cut benefits. Well, you can't cut benefits to somebody. They work their whole life, and they expect the benefits. So there's no good solution to the problem. Economists would say when there's no good solution to a problem, find a solution that is the least bad. And the least bad solution is we're going to have to raise the retirement age probably to 70 and maybe a little bit higher. And that's not a good solution, but I think it's the least bad solution.
Hmm. Well, we're all getting younger. Isn't that it? We're all living longer. And, you know, they need to come out with a campaign like 70 is the new 39, you know, just like convince everybody. Be healthy. Well, listen, Dr. Michael Bussler, my friend, thank you so much. We'll have a pop quiz. Just kidding. But Dr. Michael Bussler, professor of finance, Stockton University, and our local great economist. Thank you so much, Michael.
Always my pleasure, Dawn. Look forward to doing it again.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.